turning to Genesis chapter number 18. Genesis chapter number 18. Genesis chapter number 18. We left off last week with Abraham entertaining three different guests. We know that one of them was the Lord and two other ones were angels. And this morning we're going to try to cover a lot of area, and we're going to have to go through most of chapter number 19. We're going to finish up chapter 18 here. And we're going to look at this thought, remembering Lot's wife. You say, remembering Lot's wife. Yes, in chapter number 19, the story takes off looking at Abraham's life and begins looking at something that happens in Lot's life. It's probably one of the saddest chapters in all the Bible. But here, it is something that the Lord tells us to remember. You say, well, where does it tell us to remember that? Well, in Luke chapter 17, Jesus Christ actually uses these words. He says, remember Lot's wife. He say, why in the world does he want us to remember Lot's wife? And I think there's some different things here. I think there's some biblical things here, not just to those that are unbelievers, but also to Christians. And I think there's a lot of things we can learn. Well, in Luke chapter 17, he's talking to the Pharisees about the kingdom of God. He's warning them about the judgment that was going to come. He uses the example of Noah and the days, how the flood just came, even though nobody knew exactly when except for Noah and his family. And then he also uses the idea of Sodom, how the Lord was going to destroy Sodom, and how he warned Lot ahead of time and his family, and how Lot's wife, as most of you will remember, and we'll see in the story today, she turned back and she became a pillar of salt. Now, we don't see him saying, look, I want you to remember Abraham. We don't see him saying, I want you to remember Jacob. I want you to remember Isaac. He doesn't even talk about the ladies in the Bible. I want you to remember Rahab and Ruth and things like this. But here in Luke chapter 17, he makes this example. He says, remember Lot's wife. And today, we're going to look at chapter 18, the rest of it very quickly, and then we're going to head to chapter number 19, and we might pull a couple messages out of chapter number 19 because there's so much things there. But we want to look at specifically today the story from Lot's wife's perspective. The reason why we're starting in chapter 18 is because I want you to see that Lot's wife had someone that was praying for her. Chapter number 18, once again, Abraham was visited last week by three different individuals, one of them being God himself, and then they have the two angels that came and visited. And remember how they told Abraham that he was going to have a child by Sarah. Sarah laughed, and we went all through that last week, but we left off in verse number 17. So we're going to start here in Genesis chapter 18, verse number 17, and it says, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? He's talking about how he's getting ready to destroy Sodom. In verse number 18, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Now, I want you to understand, I think God is telling Abraham here, so Abraham understands that he's telling him ahead of time that God is going to destroy Sodom, and Abraham understands the way that God is thinking and why God thinks this. Verse number 19, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is now come unto me, and if not, I will know. What is being said here is that he's heard the cries of wickedness. We've seen this in other portions of Scripture, and the Lord is getting ready to destroy this. And in verse 22, and the men turned their faces from thence, he's referring to the two angels that came along, and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood before the Lord. So we see here, Abraham hears what the Lord is going to do. And we see here that Abraham begins to beseech or beg or talk to the Lord about whether or not he was going to destroy the wicked, the righteous with the wicked. Verse 23, and Abraham drew near and said, will thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Will thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Now here's the thought, and we're not going to go any farther in chapter 18. I'm going to tell the story here for the sake of time. Chapter 18, Abraham is going to the Lord, and Abraham is saying, look, how can you kill Sodom, destroy Sodom? If there's 50 righteous people in Sodom, would you destroy it for 50? And the Lord goes back and forth with, and he goes from 45 to 40. He goes all the way down to 10. We see here that Abraham is interceding. He's praying for Lot, praying for Lot's family. Remember, why Abram, we learned a few weeks ago, went and captured Lot, who had been captured, and brought them back. He had freed them from slavery. And we see all the things that Abram loves Lot, loves his family, and now he's worried. He didn't care about Sodom. He didn't invest his life in Sodom like Lot and his family did. He didn't really care what was going to happen to Sodom because he knew of the wickedness that was down there, but he was worried about Lot. And at 10, he says, look, if there's 10 righteous, if you find 10 righteous, will you not destroy it? And he says, I won't destroy it for 10. I think he could have went all the way down to 1 because I believe there was only one righteous person. He wasn't acting very righteous at the time, but I think the Lord was not going to destroy the righteous with the wicked. And this is kind of a sign of the rapture or even the second coming of Jesus Christ, that how the Lord is going to take out his church, is going to take out the righteous before the great tribulation ever comes. This is a picture of that. And even in Luke chapter 17, it's a picture of his second coming and how we should not be looking back into the world as Lot's wife did. Now, I wanted to give this here to you, help you understand that Abraham loves his family. He's trying to pray for his family. He stops at 10. Some people wonder, why in the world he stopped at 10? I don't know, but I remember I spoke about it in a message a long time ago. I talked about how if we've won our family and just a few others, that God wouldn't destroy our nation. And I talked about how if Lot had just won his wife, his daughters, and his son-in-laws and the other daughters, that would have been the 10. And maybe that's the reason why Abraham stopped at 10. I don't know why. But Abraham stops asking at 10. He realizes that the Lord is going to destroy Sodom. He is just praying that the Lord would reserve or preserve Lot. Now, that's not the main part of the message, but I didn't want to just skip over that portion. It's a great portion of Scripture. You see, Abraham is not bargaining with God in the idea that he thinks he has a right. He's on his face. He's begging God. He's speaking to God. He's doing it with a reverent respect. He knows who God is. And he even uses that at the end of verse number 25. I think it says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And he's saying, and that's the truth. The Lord will always do right. And that's what Abraham is reminding him. And sometimes when we pray, we need to remind the Lord of his promises. And Lord, you've promised us this and you've promised us that. And remind God, this is what we're seeking and searching. And let God, as we pray, change us to make us people that he can use. Now we come into verse number 19. You leave a place where a godly man is beseeching and praying to the Lord for a people. And in chapter number 19, you have the two angels that are heading towards Sodom. And once again, Sodom is going to be destroyed in the end. God sends these two angels in his mercy to preserve the one righteous man and this man's family and tries to bring them out of Sodom before its destruction. Once again, this is a very, very sad chapter. It's viewer discretion warning there, as you see that on TV shows sometimes. This is a very, very sad chapter. I want to pre-warn you of that. Chapter number 19, and it says, and there came two angels, and these are the two that had just left the Lord. And we're going to read the whole chapter. I'm going to give you a commentary or tell the story as it goes along. And then we're going to focus in on how this, remembering what we should remember from Lot's wife. And there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. Now, sitting in the gate of Sodom means that he had a place of notoriety, a place of authority. Not only had Lot just came down to Sodom, he actually was a person that was a judge, a person that had a leadership position in Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. Lot recognizes them, sees them that there's something special, and sees that there's something different about them. Why do you see that? It says here, this man that was in authority of the city, what does he do? He bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold, now my lords, calls them lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. Now, this was custom in the area. Back in this time, if someone came to the village or came to the town, you would treat them with hospitality. But see, Sodom is different. Sodom is a very, very, very wicked place. You're going to see that in a little while. And here, Lot knows that they cannot stay out in the street. Lot knows because of the wickedness that would happen, the things that would befall them while staying in the streets, pretty much presses or begs for them to come into his house. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, which meant it was getting time to go to bed, the men of the city, I want you to notice this, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round both old and young, all the people from every quarter. Now you see, this is a large number of men. It says how they surrounded the house, and it says it's from every quarter. It means from all around the town, all around the area, came because they heard that these two men had came and had visited Lot's house. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in unto thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. Now these are people that are Sodomites. These are people that want to do wickedness with these men that had come into this house. They want to sexually perverse these men. He wants to do things against this man's will. And it is just a wicked thing that these men want to do. They compass the house. They're banging on the door. They're calling for Lot to come out. Verse number 6, and Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him. Not like they couldn't hear what was being said, I'm sure. Verse number 7, these men are asking for these men to come out so they can wickedly abuse them. And Lot says, and I said, I pray you, brethren. I don't know about you, but Lot, who we know later on in the Bible, he says he was a righteous man, that he had faith in God. He's calling these wicked men brethren. This man has gone far down from his days with Abraham. This man has left. He has traded in his tent for a townhouse. He has traded in his house now. He's no longer a pilgrim. Instead, he is a resident, a citizen of this wicked city. And he says, do not so wickedly. Even though Lot live amongst this wickedness, he still thought it was wicked what these men wanted to do. Behold, now I have two daughters. And I don't know about this, but this is probably one of the saddest verses in all the Bible. He offers this angry crowd, this angry mob. He says, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you. He says, let me sacrifice my daughters so that these men will not be abused. And do ye, he's saying this to an angry crowd, to them as is good in your eyes. That's just sad. Only unto these men do nothing. Willing to give up his own daughters. And now, once again, you say, what does that to do with Lot's wife? We're going to get to that in a little while. He says, for therefore came they under the shadow of my house. He says, look, they're under the house. I'm supposed to take care of them. They're supposed to be able to feel relaxed and safe in a home, according to tradition of that day. Verse number 9, and they said, stand back. These men had nothing to do with this. Believe me, if someone has ungodly desires and ungodly lusts, they could care less what anyone else thinks. They want their point proven. They want their point brought across. And we see that across the nation today, that people are intolerant of the fact that people have different, that they believe in the Bible, but they call us intolerant. They say that we're wicked because we're not willing to let them do whatever they please. And that's what these men are saying. Stand back. I don't care what you're saying, Lot. We're going to know these men the way we want to know them. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow, and now this is the angry mob that's speaking of Lot, came in to sojourn, saying he came into our city and he will needs be a judge. And he probably was a judge of that day, talking about being a judge of them at that moment in time, that they should not be allowed to do their own wickedness in their own city, whatever way they think they should be able to do. Sounds like a group of people that live in America today. We should be able to do what we want in our own wickedness. We're not hurting anybody. And this is where ungodly lust takes people. And continue on and see what deal. And it says, now we will deal worse with thee than with them. And they began to threaten Lot. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. They're breaking down the door. They're coming after Lot. But the men put, and who's these men? These are the men that are in the house, the angels that are in the house, put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. They shut the door. And you see in verse number 11, we knew that these are not just normal humans. We know that they're angels from the chapter before. But he says, and they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they were wearied themselves to find a door. They couldn't even find a door because they made them all blind. Verse number 12, and the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides? He says, do you have any more family besides these two daughters? Son-in-law? And thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. And verse number 13, he tells Lot what God's plan is for this city. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord have sent us to destroy it. We see God, the wrath, the wickedness have gone too far. God has come to the point where he is going to destroy this city. And you say, God would do that? Well, he destroyed the whole world because of the flood, because of the wickedness of the people. And there is going to be coming a day and time when the wickedness goes too far. Verse 14, and Lot went out and spake unto his son-in-laws. And here's another sad verse. He goes to his son-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his son-in-laws. His son-in-laws wouldn't even believe him. So why wouldn't they believe his father-in-law? It's because of the fact that he lived so long in such a wicked place, he never talked about God before. It's sort of like him running up to the house and the first time ever really mentioning the one true God. He's going to destroy the city, and they're laughing at him. Says, Lot, you just bought land yesterday. You have money in the banks. Why do you think that God's going to destroy the city? They laugh at him because he has no testimony here. And we'll get back to that in a little while too. Verse number 15, it says, and when the morning arose, so the morning time had come, and then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest they be consumed in the iniquity of the city. So we see here that they're warning him, says, look, get out of the city. And what does Lot and his family do? And while he lingered, I mean, he took his time, kind of puttered around, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto them. At this point in time, God has already warned them. God is showing his mercy that he is bringing them out. He's taking them out. The Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. So they took him outside the city. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay in all the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest thou be consumed. We see some very explicit instructions. Look, you're running for your life here. Don't look back. And Lot said unto them, Oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, now the servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil take me, and I die. Behold, now the city is near unto thee to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one, and my soul shall live? Now, it's amazing that Lot here is not listening still. He's still trying to bargain, still trying to make it to a city. And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also. And I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the city and that which grew upon the ground. Now look at verse number 26. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. We're look in just a little while why she did that. And Abraham got up early in the morning. And I want you to look at here. You see what Abraham is doing. He has already prayed. He's already talked to God. He does not know what has happened to Lot. He got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain. And behold, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. I have written in my Bible off to the side, I have, look what Lot could have been. See, Lot knew the same God Abraham did. Lot had the same choices, same opportunities to serve and worship Abraham. Abraham chose to worship God instead of going to Sodom. Lot could have been the one standing next to Abraham, watching what was happening to these cities. Instead, because of Lot's choices, Lot is now where? Devastated in another area. Verse number 30, and Lot went up to Zoar and dwelt in the mountains, and his two daughters with him. And he feared to dwell with Zoar, and he dwelt in the cave, and he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him that we may preserve seed of our father. And we see the mentality of these girls, it's wickedness. We see Lot hasn't really learned a lesson because we see here him here drinking wine. If he would have been, he knew this was wrong. He had drunk so much that he became passed out. And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with their father, and he perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said to the younger, "Behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and with him, that we may preserve seed of our father." And they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down and when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father, and the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab, and the same is the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son and called his name Ben-Ammi, and the same is the father of the children of Amnon unto this day. Now, I know that's a long passage of scripture. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help, and we'll get right into the message. Lord, thank you for today. Lord, I pray you take the passage of scripture that we read. Lord, it's eye-opening. It's perverse. Lord, it's amazing how wicked people can become. Lord, help us to learn something. Lord, as you told us to remember Lot's wife, help us to learn what you want us to learn from her story so we can apply it to our lives too. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, here's the point. We didn't read that whole passage so people's eyes could be open. We didn't read that whole passage so people could cringe. It wasn't written in the Bible to drag Lot and drag Lot's wife and drag Lot's children through the mud. It's written because there's something here we can learn. And in Luke chapter 17, the Bible tells us Jesus said, "Remember Lot's wife." So there's some things I'd like to look at this story from her perspective. And as we look at this story, I think there's some things we can learn. First thing I want you to do is consider her privileges. Consider her privileges. He said, her privileges, Lot's wife just got turned to a pillar of salt. What privileges does he had? And I said, that's not the point I'm talking about. Consider what happened beforehand. Now, remember, Lot was called out with Abraham. Abram was called out of the Ur of the Chaldees. God allowed Abraham to take Lot and Lot's wife with him. So here's some of the privileges they had. They got to travel with Abram. You say, why in the world would that be a privilege? Well, to our knowledge, Abraham is the only person, the only family that is serving the one true God. And they had the opportunity of being around the believer. But not only that, we see some of the things that she must have learned. We saw how God, she was there when God intervened on Sarai's account. Could you imagine what happened in Egypt? Remember when the Pharaoh had taken Sarai to be his wife, how I'm sure Abraham was discouraged. Abraham was disappointed. Lot was right there. Lot's family was right. Wife was right there. I'm sure that Abram did not know what he was going to do. But what ended up happening? God miraculously, you know, brings Sarai away. So what are you getting at? God saw, Lot's wife saw God deliver Sarai out of that situation. That's a privileged encounter. When you see God working in someone's life and you see how God has used someone else, believe me, that can change your life if you let it. She also saw how God intervened in her own life. Just a few weeks earlier in the month, we saw that how Lot and his family had been captured. They were headed toward a life of slavery, which is not good for the women, which is not good for her daughters. And Abram at the time takes and begins a small army, and this small army goes out and destroys the other army and frees them from slavery and sets them free. You know what? She was privileged. She saw God work in God's man to deliver them. So we knew that God was revealing himself not only to Abram, not only to Lot, but Lot's wife is seeing God deliver Sarai. Lot's wife saw God deliver them from slavery. She didn't know what was going to happen to him, but she saw him. Also in verse number 13, this passage of scripture, she was privileged because she heard the angel's message. She was privileged because she heard the angel's message. She says, "For we will destroy this place because the city of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord." She was privileged because she heard the warning of God. To our knowledge, no one else had heard that warning. To that, our knowledge, it was only those that Lot, the righteous, had told them about God's warning. Lot could have went out and told the whole city God was going to destroy the city. But we see Lot goes to the son-in-laws, the ones he knew best, and they laugh at him. They mock him. But Lot's wife was privileged because of the fact that she had heard the warning. She also knew that these men were not just normal men that were in her house. She saw these men, her family, her daughters, Lot himself. They were all in danger. They're trying to break down the door. And these two men, these two angels, makes everyone else become blind. And he once again, God delivers her again. And then you see the next morning, God tells them, look, get up. Let's go. It's time to go. What do? They linger around. And as they're lingering around, it says the angels take Lot in one hand and Lot's wife in one hand. And the other angel takes the other two daughters and takes them out of the city. She's privileged once again because God delivers her once again from her foolishness and from her wickedness and says, look, we got to get out of here. This is a privileged lady. He said, but she was turned to a pillar of salt. You know what? There's only so many times that God can continue on and continue on and continue on showing you mercy after mercy after mercy. She was privileged because she knew Lot. He said, how could you be privileged by knowing that guy? Well, we know that the Bible says this, that delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. See, I think Lot, he went to Sodom. I don't really think Lot knew how wicked Sodom was at that time. I think he saw the houses, he saw the streets, it reminded him of Egypt. He went down there, and it says it vexed his righteous soul. I think Lot was there, but Lot really never enjoyed himself. Now, there is pleasure of sin in a season, but I think that if you're living in sin, God is always constantly reminding you. If you're one of his, he is always chastening you. He's always trying to bring you back here. And I think that Lot didn't really enjoy it there. Now, I don't think Lot's wife or Lot's daughters, I don't think they were righteous. I don't think they knew God the way Lot did. Now, I think they enjoyed the place Sodom. They were the ones that were lingering around. They were the ones that, she was the one that turned back around. So I want you to understand first her privilege. She knew Abraham, the man, probably the only man that we know of that family that worshiped the one true God at that time. Secondly, God had delivered her at least four different times. God had went in behind her for her way and for her reasoning and helped deliver her out. And also, we see here that she had a husband that was a believer. He didn't live like a believer, but he was a believer. She had a privileged life. Second thing I want you to see, not only consider her privileges, consider her problems. Consider her problems. She's got some problems. She says, yeah, she lives in that wicked place amongst all these Sodomites. She has big issues. She does. But that's not her biggest problem. Her biggest problem is that she had a faith problem. Thousands of years, people wondered, why in the world would this woman look back? Why in the world would she turn back when she was already told not to turn back? And the question isn't, why did she turn back? The question is, why wouldn't she? She had already lived in wickedness. God had already delivered them from slavery. And where did they go? They went right back to Sodom. God had already given them the chance to go back to Abraham, go back to God, go back to the right living. She heads right back to Sodom. See, her faith problem was she did not believe that God was going to truly destroy Sodom. She had to turn back and see. She didn't believe that God was going to make real on his promises. And the truth is, we must learn to believe in God and believe in God's word. That we must learn that there are so many people today taking a gamble today on the fact that they just think God is bluffing. Just ask the rich man that's in hell today. God is not bluffing. God is true in his word, and God tells us over and over in his word that a person that hears a warning and does not heed to that warning is a foolish person. In my personal devotions, I guess went through the book of Proverbs. And as going through the book of Proverbs, there's something that constantly reminded to me was over and over, is that a foolish person will not heed to the warnings of God. And how you say, Pastor, how does this apply? Well, God and Jesus and God's son, God himself, said in Luke 17, remember Lot's wife. What are we supposed to remember about Lot's wife? She didn't believe God. Think about what Proverbs says. Think of some of these verses. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. This woman despised the instruction of the angel. She said, no, I'm not going to listen. I don't want to go. I'm going to turn back. Listen to what it says in Proverbs 15:32. He that refuses instruction despises his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. There is a division that is made in the book of Proverbs, is a person that hears instruction, a person that's able to hear reproof, a person that is able to take criticism and learn from it. That is a wise person. But a person that hates instruction, a person that hates reproof, a person that is a scorner, that is a fool. And that is a person that even a rod many times can't help, because of the fact they are just not willing to take the warnings of God. The Bible says, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. That's what I believe this woman was doing. She over and over, God kept on showing her, this is wickedness, this is wickedness, and she kept on wanting to go back. In Proverbs 12:1, it says, whoso loveth instruction, loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. Say, where is the reproof? Well, that's what's wrong. This woman is being told, come out of your wickedness, come out of your wicked ways. And Proverbs 17:10, a reproof entereth into a wise man, more than 100 stripes into a fool. Now listen to that verse, and that's probably my favorite of the whole group. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. A person who is wise, a person that can listen to some correction and take and apply it, is more valuable than hitting or striping a person 100 times that is fool, because it won't do any good in their life, because they'll never ever learn, because they're foolish, because they love their sin more than they love instruction and truth. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rages and is confident. The fool rages and is confident. And this is another one. This is an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth and says, I have done no wickedness. What does that have to do with anything? Lot's wife did not believe God's word. Lot's wife had gotten to the point where she believed that she was not doing anything wrong. And because she believed she was not doing anything wrong, she could turn around and look back and not hurt her or affect her. Say, what are we supposed to learn from that? Well, I don't know about you, but you know, when God speaks to our heart about something, sometimes we're stubborn. I don't know about you. Are you stubborn? I know I'm stubborn. My wife has told me before I was stubborn. Of course, she said it in a kind, loving way. But we're loving. We love one another, but many times we are stubborn people. And when God speaks to our heart about something he wants us to change, usually we don't do it right away really fast, do we? No, it takes time after time after time. And God says, look, remember Lot's wife. Well, what do you want us to remember about Lot's wife? Is that she didn't learn her lesson. God warned her, and God warned her, and God warned her. God showed mercy, God showed mercy, God intervened. God did all these things to try to get her attention and said, hey, fix what you're doing. And she said, no. She didn't have faith. She had a faith problem. And here's the main part I want you to remember, because I know most of the people here today are believers, is that God has come to you and spoken to you about a certain sin in your life and says, hey, I want you to read your Bible. I want you to do this. I want you to be more forgiving. I want you to be more faithful. I want you to love your wife. I want you to do this for your husband. I want you to do this with your children. And he said it over and over and over. But we don't believe God. We have a faith problem, because we don't believe God's ever going to let anything happen to us. It's like that fool that can have 100 stripes happen to him and nothing ever changes. Maybe that's not you. But I know sometimes in certain things in my life in the past, I've been stubborn. I didn't want to change. I know God spoke to my heart, hey, I want you to give this up. Lord, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I wipe my mouth and says, I don't think I'm doing anything wrong. What's the big deal? And sometimes what we need to look at is our own lives and see, is God trying to speak to my heart? Maybe he's trying to speak to a young person's heart about their music. Maybe he's trying to speak to an older person's heart about listening to ungodly music or watching ungodly things or doing things that we know are wrong, and we just keep on wiping our mouths and says, I have done nothing wrong. God's trying to reach out to us. Just as he reached out to Lot's wife and says, run, get away from it. It's danger, it's wickedness. So what are we supposed to remember about Lot's wife? Number one, she had a faith problem. Number two, she had a focus problem. She had a focus problem. She, along with others, had been commanded not to look back. But there was something within her that caused her to turn back toward Sodom. The problem with Lot's wife was that she had her eyes on all the wrong things. She was looking back at her lost life, her lost lifestyle, her lost city. Wherever our gaze is fixed on, that's where we're going to head towards. That's where our path is. Whatever is in our heart, that's what we're going to become. Her gaze was on the world. Just like the prodigal son, his gaze was on the world. And what happened? His feet followed. She probably had everyone in her family fooled. She probably said she was a believer in front of Abraham, even maybe said it to her daughters. But the problem of Lot's wife was that the problem many people have today, they make a profession of faith, but they're never truly born again. She proved what she was when she looked back to Sodom. See, she had her body out of Sodom, but her heart was still in the world. Her heart was still in Sodom. And I want to encourage you this morning, what is your focus on today? If we're going to remember anything about Lot's wife, we need to remember that she was privileged. God over and over and over said, leave, stop. She brought thing after thing after thing in her life to try to get her right. And he actually used angels to either take them out or actually just kind of teleport them out. I don't know how it worked, but she got them outside the city and had done everything that could be done to try to help this woman. And she chose not to listen to God's warning. And this is what God wants you to remember about Lot's wife. She had a faith problem. And this is something that we can apply to our lives. And something a lost person can apply to her life is that stop ignoring the warnings of God. Believe what he says in his word. And if he tells you that you should be doing this, then do that. If he tells you that you should not be doing this, then don't do it. It's a faith problem. But then there's also the focus problem. She wants you to remember her heart was so much in Sodom, it cost her her life. Last but not least, not only her privileges and not only her problems, but her punishment. I want you to see her punishment really quickly. First thing is, it was sudden. As soon as she turned around, she's a pillar of salt. God had shown mercy for so long. Bible says in Proverbs 29:1, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Listen to that phrase, that verse again. You might want to write it down, because there's a lot of people that have been often reproved and they harden their neck and they harden their neck and they harden their neck to where they think they're not doing anything wrong. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Is there something in your life that God has been speaking to your heart about for years, that you've been hardening your neck and putting your heart neck back saying, I'm not doing anything wrong? The Bible's saying that there's a warning that goes along with that. Not only was it sudden, it was also serious. The Bible says she became a pillar of salt. This is the judgment of God. It fell on her. She perished. She was swallowed up by the wrath of God. This wrath became because of her unbelief. She turned to a pillar of salt, and I believe will spend eternity in a horrible place called hell because she never put her belief and faith and trust in God. I also want you to think of it for a second about the severity of it. Not only was it sudden and serious, it was severe. You say, what could be more severe than being turned to a pillar of salt and spending eternity with my soul lost in hell? Well, I think that what the impact that she had on her family was just as severe as losing her own soul. Think about the rich man from hell crying out to Lazarus, or crying out to God, send Lazarus to my five brothers. He was concerned for him. But how severe, once she gets to hell and she understands that her life, that she had also not only hurt herself, she hurt her children, that the two that were not lost by the thing had done something wicked because of the morals that she had taught them. The other two that stayed with their son-in-laws, or however many there was that was with the son-in-laws, all perished in that fire and was in hell that day with them. How severe could it be, not only losing your own soul, but losing the soul of your family too? Proverbs 14:1 says, every wise woman build her a house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. And I think this woman has a exact story, that this woman had every opportunity to be a wise woman, to build her house as Sarah built her house and had the example that was sitting right there. But as being a foolish woman, never truly responding to the correction or the warnings or the judgment of God, she plucked her own house down with her hands. Here's the encouragement to you, or the warning, or whatever you want to call it today. How are you building your life? A foolish person is tearing their life apart because they refuse to take the correction and the warning that the Word of God offers them. The wise person that is reproved will take it and see if it applies to their life. The foolish, you can drive it in and drive it in and drive it in, but they're going to keep on looking back. And keep on looking back at the world, looking at their old lifestyle, looking at their old wickedness, looking at and yearning for the things of the flesh. I don't know about you, but the rich man cried out for his brothers. I can only imagine what Lot's wife cried out for her daughters and the future of her daughters and the grandchildren that it happened. And we know the nations that came from these grandchildren were known for being wicked and God haters. A whole line. One other thing in here, you know, how could Lot get drunk after all this happens? I don't get that. You know what? Even though God delivered him, he still didn't get it. How sad is that? He still wanted to argue with God. I can't go to the mountains. I need to go to this little city. Christian, when are we ever going to get past our own selves and remember Lot's wife? Now, it's not that we can, the story isn't here to make Lot's wife seem so horrible and so wicked and their daughters, what they did. I don't even want to talk about that. I really don't. I don't even really want to talk about what those men wanted to do outside that house. Why for the message then? Because God wants us to learn something from it. We want you to learn what a faith problem will happen and what a focus problem will happen. We're privileged people. We have the Word of God standing in, right here with us. We have God speaking to our hearts. We have God that demonstrates mercy and grace to us, and God that gives us warnings. Just as Lot's wife was lost, and because she was judged, the judgment of God fell upon her. Someday the judgment of God will fall upon all men. Someday the judgment of God will fall upon those that are lost without Christ. This morning, are you here? Are you saved? Are you on your way to heaven? The Bible says that because of your sin, you will spend eternity in a place called hell if you do not believe and trust in Jesus Christ. That's where I believe Lot's wife is today. As sad as that sounds, don't laugh at it. Don't scoff at it and say, oh, that couldn't happen. That's exactly what Lot's wife said when she turned around. I don't believe God is going to do that to Sodom. I don't believe that God will judge the world this way. She's believing it now, today. What a solemn warning to us that if you're unsaved, not on your way to heaven, get that right. I honestly believe, I don't know in the story, but I'm guessing that Lot's wife at some point in time saw Abraham and saw Sarah. I'm sure that she took part of some of the sacrifices and she took part of some of the rituals or some of the things and the prayers that they did. I'm sure she probably professed to be a believer, but that didn't help her. Truth is, are you saved this morning? You can get all dressed up, you can look right, you can act right, and you can say and tell people that you're a church member or that you're on your way to heaven, but unless you truly put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and repented of your sins, you have no hope and no help outside of God. And this morning, if you're a Christian, I think some of us have a faith problem. Some of us are just living too much like the world. I'm confused, Pastor. Well, don't be confused about this. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Well, what am I supposed to remember about Lot's wife? First thing is that the Lord tried to help her. The Lord sent things in her life to try to get her attention, and she refused to listen. And because of that, she had her problems, and she was punished. How do we apply this to us today? God is many times reaching out to us saying, get this right, get it right, get it right. And he sends circumstances, he sends people, he sends the Bible, he sends the Word of God, he sends sermons, and he tries to tell you, get this right, get it right, get it right. But just like the foolish person, I've done nothing wrong. I don't know what you're talking about. And we keep on living the exact same way. Lord said, remember Lot's wife. Remember, God tried to help her. She was privileged. Her problems was faith. Problems with her focus, and it ended up being her punishment. Don't let that happen to you. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.